So, again, this is all just kind of figuring things out. I had a sermon that I was going to preach, and then I decided to change it. So, I think that the situation causes us to really consider what it looks like to be followers of Christ when we are in the middle of things like this. There are so many things going on, so many things changing from day to day. It was just a couple days ago, or maybe it was just yesterday. I can't even keep track that the president declared a state of emergency throughout the country. Each day we look and we feel like we look at the map of where exposure has taken place, where there are more cases confirmed, and it seems like it's growing nearer and nearer to us. There's so much uncertainty about just what is going to happen with our economy, with businesses closing their doors for who knows how long, with schools that are closing. If we watch the news, it just all seems so dire, and it just fills my heart with anxiety. Partly, not necessarily because I'm afraid for myself, but because I just don't know what the right decisions are. I don't know what the right response is. And there's always this feeling of if I wait too long, it's too late. If I move too fast, it's too early. All these things that are just trying to wrestle through. And I know that all of you are in the same place of wrestling through. What does this look like for me? What does this look like for my job? What does this look like for my family? What does this look like? And how long will things change? Will things always be different, or will this pass? And we just don't have answers for those questions. Just kind of in this place of going, we don't have control right at the moment. And so, when we are in this place of feeling a lack of control, when we're in this place of feeling uncertain about the future or what is going to happen, what do we do? Where do we turn? I'd like to believe that because we are Christians, it changes the way that we look at situations like this. It changes the way that we respond. It changes the way that we process the information that we hear. Because we have hope. We have someone that we can look to who knows what's happening. We have something that the world doesn't have. But yet, I think oftentimes it's easy to get sucked right in to the rest of the world and to the panic that we see around us. Now, there's a difference between panic and wisdom. We want to be wise, but we don't want to fear. And that's a very difficult line to figure out where that is. What's the difference between being wise and making good choices for the sake of others, for the sake of ourselves, versus being afraid? And again, that is something that we determine as we go to the Lord and as we figure out, or as we wrestle with that with Him. But I think that as we look at this situation that we find ourselves in, there are some things that come out that the Bible tells us to do as Christians. Things that our life should reflect, our life should be about in the midst of struggle, in the midst of fear, in the midst of uncertainty. And so there's four things. And actually, if you read the first letter I sent out to the church, I wrote these four things down as if they were new, and then I looked back to reference what I had said before, and I realized, oh, I basically said similar things, but this is just fleshing them out. But the first thing that we do when we are in situations like this is that we have to trust God. We have to trust. that God is big, that God is good, that God is in control. I know that's easier said than done. I, again, like I said, wrestle with some different feelings of anxiety and worry. And even if I don't think that they are that big, if I don't think it's affecting me that much, it's been interesting to watch my kids and to see how the way that I talk impacts the way that they think. I think back even a week ago as we were just talking about what was going on in the world so much and potential. We were praying towards the end of the night, and Esme said, let's pray that thank God that we'll be with Jesus when we all get coronavirus and die. You go, oh, well, I didn't realize that that's what was coming through in my conversations. I had to sit down, and I'm sorry for saying this, Levi, but I had to sit down with Levi and because he was starting to really be concerned. Why are you talking about this all the time? Why is this the only thing that's on your mind? Why does this seem like it's interrupting everything and I just don't feel safe? And I had to sit down with him and read scripture and talk to him about trusting God. But as I was telling him those things, I was telling myself, I need to watch what I say. I need to watch how I say it. I need to make sure that my heart is trusting God rather than just my head saying, oh yeah, I trust God, but let me talk about all the things that I'm freaked out about. You may be in the same situation. You may feel like there are those around you who are hearing different things than you think that you're saying, but it's something to be aware of. When we look to the Bible, we see very clearly that God is a God that is trustworthy, and trusting in God helps us then to not fear. We just heard Johnny read Psalm 46. It's a great passage in the Bible, and it says this again. I'll kind of reread some of it. It says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea. Goes on to say that we won't fear when, or it says, let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. This image that is presented is one of God being a fortress. It says in verse 7, the Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Found this picture online. You may have seen something like this before. It's of a lighthouse, very fortress-like, in the middle of a huge crashing wave that's coming over it. And if you look very closely, there's a man standing in the doorway, unaffected by this surge of water that is coming over the building. This is the image that Psalm 46 gives us. One of calm in the midst of chaos. One of security in the midst of danger. This is what it is like to trust in God, to truly trust in God. To believe that we are in His hand. And that no matter what happens around us, we can remain unmoved. Not because we are in control, but because He is in control, because He knows what will happen. He is our protection. I can imagine if I was this man and to watch the waters around, there would still be a level of fear, especially if I hadn't been there very long. That feeling of, well, maybe the wave is going to wrap around and get me. All it takes is that one wave to come, and it's going to come so hard it'll just sweep me right off the other side and I'll be done for. But the more and more that man stands there, the more and more he watches wave after wave come, the more and more his trust in the fortress grows. It's the same for us. the more and more we spend time with God, the more we reflect on what God has done in the past, the more and more we watch what God is doing for us, the more and more we recognize that we can be secure. At the end of Psalm 46, in verse 10, it says this. It's a command to God's people. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Such a simple command. Be still. But quite a hard one to actually follow. I think, if nothing else, the thing that is very clear to me is that as I have been trying to make decisions about what to do in the wake of the coronavirus, as I've been thinking about what to write to you as the church, as I've been thinking about what the future will hold, my mind is racing a mile a minute. As I look at my computer and I just... search different things for information, you'll just see it's tab after tab after tab after tab after tab after tab of things that I could look at, and I look at it, it's almost overwhelming, and my mind just keeps going, and I think that probably a lot of us feel that way. But in the midst of all that, God is saying to each and every one of us, be still. Be still and know. I found this just says stop, breathe, and think. Just take a moment to stop. Stop thinking about all the news. Stop thinking about all the fears. Stop thinking about all the worries. Just take a deep breath and remember that God's in control. Sure, our minds will start to race again. But we have to remind ourselves again, stop and breathe and think. God is in control. Be still. Know that I am God. And no matter what happens, no matter what happens, he says, I will be honored among the nations. I'll be honored throughout the world. God's plan does not stop. God's plan is not thwarted. God's people are not destroyed. He is with them. So in Psalm 118, it says in verses 6 through 7, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. The Lord is for me, so I'll have no fear. As Christians, we have a God that we can trust in. And there's no better time than now to trust in Him. The second thing that we do as Christians is to pray. Because we trust that God not only is there, not only is working for us, not only is working behind the scenes in ways that we don't understand, but we know that God cares about us. He cares about your worries. He cares about your fears. He cares about all the things that you don't know. And He cares that you feel helpless. And so we're told, as I mentioned earlier in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And then it says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. God says that when we pray, He will give us peace. When we turn to Him, He will calm our anxiety and worry. But what do we pray for? It says two things that we should be praying for. It says, tell God what you need. Tell him what you need. If you're anxious, tell him that you need help with your anxiety. If you're lacking wisdom, tell him that you need wisdom and that you want to know what to do. If you're concerned about your family, pray for your family and your friends. Pray for those who are suffering. Pray for those who are working to help. And in it all, pray that God would be glorified in the situation. That people would come to know him, that people would trust him more, that faith would be deepened, and that his saving work would take root more and more throughout the world. These are good things to pray for. But Paul reminds us that our needs are not where our prayers should stop. That we pray for, we tell God what we need, but then we also thank him for all he has done. How often it fills our mind to offer God our needs, but to forget the thanks. To forget to thank him for his work in the past, for the ways that he's shown up, for the ways that he has been with you, for the ways that he has answered your prayers, for what he's done through Christ, for the hope that you have in him. I think Paul knows that not only does God appreciate the thanks, but he knows that as we thank God for what he's done, it reassures us that God has done things in the past. He is working. And just as we have experienced times of uncertainty before, and God has shown up, he will do it again. When we thank God, we remember he's not just some distant God that doesn't care. But he has been working from the very beginning in our lives and in his world. And so pray as Christians. Let this turn you to hearts of prayer. Thirdly, we are called to serve. Just because things are hard, just because we don't know what will happen, it doesn't mean that our mandate to serve one another goes away. In fact, we are called to serve all the more when things are hard. In Romans 12, 9 through 11, and really all of chapter 12, Paul talks about the ways that the body of Christ is there for one another, how they serve the world. He says in Romans 12, 9 through 11, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And he goes on to say in verses 12 and 13, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. He talks about, as the chapter goes on, about blessing those who persecute you, about being happy with those who are happy, weeping with those who weep, living in harmony with each other, caring for those who are ordinary and the ones that you would normally skip over. To live at peace and in love with everybody. This is the legacy of the church in so many different cases. I ran back to grab a book that I was wanting to read a quote out of. It's one that you may have heard before, but it's a story or a writing about the Christians in the early church. In 260 AD, a plague swept through the Roman Empire, and it was the Christians who began to respond in the midst of this crisis. The Bishop Dionysius writes about how the Christians responded, and he says this, he says, "Most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ, and with them departed this life sincerely happy. For they were infected by the others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains. Many, in nursing and curing others, transferred their death to themselves and died in their stead. The best of our brothers lost their lives in this manner, a number of presbyters, deacons, and laymen winning high condemnation, so that death in this form, the result of great piety and strong faith, seems in every way the equal to martyrdom." Dionysius says this was in stark contrast to those who didn't know Christ at the time. It says the heathen behaved in the very opposite way. At the first onset of the disease, they pushed the sufferers away and fled from their dearest, throwing them into the roads before they were dead and treated unburied corpses as dirt, hoping thereby to avert the spread and contagion of the fatal disease. But do what they might, they found it difficult to escape. Because of their faith, early Christians said, "I can die and feel that I know where I'm going." But there are all these people in these cities that they have no hope and they have no help. And we are going to be the ones to step in and care for them. I think it is a challenge to us to think, how will we respond? Are we more like the people who will run in fear, who will turn inward and push everyone away? Or are we the ones who will run to the problem to help those who are in need? I'm not saying that there isn't wisdom involved in choices that are made. There definitely is. I'm not saying that canceling things or rescheduling things is a bad idea. It actually is a good idea. But the ways that we think about helping those around us, it needs to be ramped up a lot, because they are in need. One of the things I noticed as I thought about the early Christians, and this is, I think, one of the reasons why a lot of gatherings are canceled right now, is that the fear is not necessarily that we are going in to help those who are already sick, but we're afraid of getting people who aren't sick, sick. The early Christians were not sick, and they went in to help those who were sick, knowing that they themselves would get the disease. They themselves would be contaminated, and that would affect their life. They would make the sacrifice for the sake of others. The difference right now is one of are we in effort to stay the same, not caring about others and rushing in and contaminating them when we don't know that we have it ourselves. This is a hard thing with this virus, that we just don't know. But I think that regardless of all those things, it is important that we think about the ways that we can care for one another in the midst of all of this. And I think that there's some simple ways. Some of that might end up meaning going into homes of people, especially if you're a lower risk for serious illness, going into the homes of people who are high risk when they need help, when they have symptoms, and saying, "I'm going to expose myself for the sake of them. I'm going to care for them." But there are things that we can do beyond that, especially as we are trying to limit our contact here at church. I think the first thing that's just simple, pick up your phone. Call people. Pick up your church directory and say, "You know, I just want to check in on someone. Let them know that I'm thinking about them. Encourage them. Share some scripture with them. Pray with them. Let them know or ask them if there's anything that we or the church can do to help." It's so easy to stay connected. I mean, you can set up weekly FaceTime conversations with people to stay connected. You can chat back and forth, sending texts or all kinds of various social media things. Stay connected. Don't let one another become isolated and alone. Another way that we can help each other is for those especially that are high risk, there may be some who need us to run errands for them, to pick up some food, to get them the supplies they need so that they can be safe and secure. If you're checking in with people, if you're asking what they need as those needs arise, it's easy to go out and be the one to help. This is just supposed to be funny, but maybe for those of you, you could share your toilet paper with those who are in need. But be creative. Be creative. Find ways that you can step in to the gap. Where people are feeling afraid, they're stuck in their homes, they feel like, if I go outside, I'm going to be exposed, and I'm at such a high risk because I have pre-existing conditions or I have other situations that make it a risk for me. I just don't know what to do. Step into those situations and help. Because that's what we're called to do as followers of Christ. Finally, the last thing is just to share. Not to share our toilet paper, but to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That we do have hope. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life, and if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." When people look at us, they should see people who act differently than the world. They should hear people that talk differently than the world. They should feel like there's something about us that is filled with hope. There's something about us that's filled with peace. There's something about us that makes us respond in ways that they don't normally see. And when those conversations happen, which they will, because it seems like all we do is talk about this right at the moment, they'll come up. Those conversations will come up. It's a perfect time to talk with those, especially those who don't know Jesus. Perfect time to talk to them about the hope that you have in Christ. The hope that helps you to weather this storm with peace. Not necessarily because you know that, well, because I trust in Christ, I'll never get sick. Or because I trust in Christ, if I do get sick, He'll heal me. Or if I trust in Christ, nothing wrong will happen. Everything will get back to normal. But I trust in Christ, and so no matter what happens, I know what my future holds. I know that I'll be secure in Him, and I know that I have life in the world to come. And there's nothing that can make me afraid because I know my future. I know that I've been forgiven by Jesus. I know that He died for me. I know that He rose from the dead. I know that He's preparing a place. I know that I'm His child. This is a time when people are looking for hope. The biggest hope of the world is Jesus Christ. Isn't it up to us as His followers to share that message with others rather than just to keep it to ourselves? It definitely is. It definitely is. So as you look at the weeks ahead, as you wonder what they will hold, as you wonder about what you will do if things close down or as things start to change, our routines start to change, know that you have things to do. You need to grow in your trust of God. You need to spend time in prayer, coming to the Lord, both bringing your needs to Him, but also thanking Him for what He's done and bringing others to Him on their behalf. You need to be about looking around you for ways that you can help those who are in need, that your role of serving doesn't end because you're stuck in your house, but look around for the people around you, and you need to look for opportunities to share. This is a great time for ministry, a great time to be a follower of Christ, not because it's easy, but because when it's hard, the message of Jesus spreads. The good news and the hope of Jesus spreads. And so don't give in to fear. Don't give in to hopelessness. Don't give in to what the world wants to fill your mind with. Be smart, but be Christians. Be followers of Christ and let it change the way that you live. We'll look back on this, and again, we don't know if we'll say it wasn't a big deal or we'll say, wow, that was terrible. But we'll look back on this and we'll say, God was with us all the way. He was faithful. He was good. And he still is in control. So you join me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your presence in our lives. We thank you that you are the creator of the universe. There's nothing that escapes your knowledge. There's nothing that's outside of your power. There's nothing that can overwhelm you or undermine you. Lord, we know that it is easy to say all these things this morning, but Lord, we pray that as we go into our weeks, as we continue to live with you and for you, that you would help these ideas take root in us more and more, that we would grow in our trust and our hope in you, and that we begin to change the way that we view this world, that we begin to change the way we view our role in it, and that we would look to glorify you in all that we say, all that we do, and all that we hope for. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.